This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
My worst nightmare. You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues live from Chicago ahead of the NHL draft tomorrow night. And draft coverage here on TSN 1050 is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Experience the safety of affordable all-wheel drive today. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan.
Oh.
Choppy out of the gate.
Wow.
Very choppy. We've got a new segment we're going to debut a little bit later in the hour.
Yes.
Future bets, buying or selling the stock.
Interesting.
Based on some of the awards that were announced last night. But the draft goes down tomorrow night, and it's Nico versus Nolan to see who's going to go first overall.
Yeah.
I think we have someone who might be a bit biased joining us around the table here.
Potentially.
He played many, many games in the NHL. He was the ninth overall pick in the 81 entry draft. He's been coaching for a while. Now he's the head coach in Kootenay out in the WHL. James Patrick joining us around the table. What's happening, James?
Just excited to get tomorrow over with.
Yeah?
I think it's so much different than when we were younger. You, Jeff, were at the draft, I'm sure, when you were drafted. I wasn't. You didn't go way back then. But, I've followed his whole junior career very close, and I think from the prospect game on, which is January, it is just, there's a lot of attention the whole year, but it's almost crazy from the combine to through the Memorial Cup. So I think it, for all those players, it's just so much attention, too much attention, that it'd be nice just to get it over with.
I was thinking the same thing last year when we were dealing with Austin Matthews. I just thought of what these kids go through. Like, he played in Europe, then he comes home, and then you got this camp, and you got the combine, and then it goes right into a rookie camp and a development camp. And I'm thinking, when do the athletes get the rest anymore? Especially these young guys that are starting to start their pro career. There's no rest. It almost seems ridiculous.
From the Memorial Cup, the guys who played late in the year, not only do you have the combine's a week now, then they go and visit teams. Like, I know for Nolan, he left Winnipeg and was gone for 12 days. 12 days of, at the combine, or he had to visit Jersey.
Right.
Had to visit three teams and spend a day there with their doctors and the whole bit. So I think it's just overkill for them, certainly.
Well, then you got the rookie camp.
Right.
And then the rookie tournament in September.
Right.
Then you're into your first camp. And these kids today, now they're expected to make the team and have an impact right off the hop. James Patrick joining us around the table, longtime NHLer, the uncle of Nolan Patrick. So when you're chatting with Nolan, are you chatting with him as former NHLer that knows the grind, or as an uncle who knows him personally?
Probably a little of both. I want to help him as much as I can, more so coming from being a coach now and working with young players and seeing story after story of, even as a player, you saw guys so talented, but a lot of them didn't make it. You see guys who, it was funny, a number of years ago, about 5 years ago, I had a reunion in Buffalo, and they brought back hundreds of players, and there's a lot of players that Lindy coached. And I bet you four or five of them came up to him and said, man, I wish I would have listened to you more. You were so right. Eric Rasmussen, a number of guys like Mike Wilson, I remember him saying to Lindy, you were so right. If I would have just competed harder, worked harder. So you hear stories about that. And we all, it's so easy. You learn a lot later in your career. So I want to, when I'm coaching, I want to pass on to the young players. If I knew this when I was younger, I think it maybe would help me a bit. So with Nolan, I've just tried to be looking through the eyes of a coach. In your game, if you try and do these things, in your attitude, your work ethic, you try and do these things, it's going to help you so much.
Well, and in a weird way, even though you're going to be a high pick, you were a top 10 pick yourself. So you walked in probably thinking, okay, I've got confidence. I should have confidence. This team likes me. They're going to give me ample opportunity. The same thing will happen with Nolan. He's going in the top three or four tomorrow night. He's going to immediately be that team's top prospect. Yet he's got to keep motivated. Where the kid that goes in the seventh round, that kid knows he's got to compete. Right, he's not getting a check guaranteed. He's not making it to the league guaranteed. So being a top pick, you guys can attest to it, both of you top 10 players.
Right.
It's got to be self-motivation, right? Because you're going to be given the opportunity. But you got to prove you're worthy of being that top 10 pick. There's a lot of pressure that comes with that right off the hop.
Well, obviously, yeah. You go into camp and you have all these expectations. I was drafted fifth overall, and I find it so much different nowadays where it's like to get this five-year kind of grace period. And I remember if my second training camp, I'm thinking, if I don't make this team, I'm considered a bust. It's a lot different now. It's like you're a part of the future. You're on this long-term plan. When I was drafted in the first round, fifth overall, it's like first couple camps, you better be on that team because that's what they drafted you for. It was after Daigle and Pronger, and these guys are started stepping right in. And if you didn't do that, the team's looking at you saying, did we pick the wrong guy?
Well, in a way, though, now you look at what Matthews did right off the hop, McDavid did right off the hop.
Right.
I mean, Nolan and Nico, these kids are coming
and
in.
And the talk is, Brian, that these kids are more ready to play in the NHL now more than ever with the knowledge they have, the conditioning,
right.
The life coaches, the mental coaches. It's like they've got a support staff like Tiger Woods when was in his prime when they're 14 years old.
Do you sense that, James, that it is a different world in,
it, it is.
In these top picks?
I see it even through the coaching. You see the younger players, they've speeded up the game. They've made the game quicker. They are better trained, better athletes. I don't think a lot of them play as good defensively, or they still got a long way to go learning some of the intricacies of the game. But I think they have pushed slower 33, 34-year-old players out of the game almost.
Right.
Just because they've made the game faster. But I do think...
they're not smarter than all time.
No, they are not. They got a long ways to go learning how to play a two-way game, a 200-foot game. And I do think McDavid and Matthews are maybe they're generational players. I don't see that in Nolan or this year's crop. I think when I look at Nolan's game, I think he's got miles to go. I think he is a smart hockey player who can make plays, but he's got a long way to go. He's got to learn how to play a two-way game. He's got to learn how to play defense first.
With guys being younger and expected maybe to jump in, you don't have to speak to certain players, but just are you having to deal with some of the parents and the families now? I mean, that's the one thing. I know my parents kind of were in the background. I don't know how yours were, but I sense that these young players come as a package now.
I can't even talk about people's parents because it just drives me nuts even to think about the garbage that would come across my plate.
Well, I mean...
But in junior, I would think it would be even more pronounced. I mean, the NHL, in a way, they're like, okay, it's the NHL
layers.
Now.
There's
it's
layers.
Yeah, kids are getting... They've made it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like now, we're chatting with James Patrick, who's now the head coach of the Kootenay Ice out in the WHL. You are going to be the lifeline for these kids. Like, they got to make sure they're in your good books mm-hmm. so that you play them and then you give them the opportunity to get to the NHL.
Well, as far as the parents go, I've already had numerous discussions with our GM, and I've said I'll welcome the parents into the organization, and that's my only contact with them. If the parents want to talk to anyone, they can talk to you. Mm-hmm. I talk to the players. I don't talk to agents, and I don't talk to parents.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to play and you're going to develop, you know, based on your compete and your work ethic and how good a player you are. You know, as far as how much of a great prospect you are or what have you, your parents are not going to influence that.
That's what I would like to tell the parents all the time. What you say or what your information you're going to get from the coach or the general manager, it has no effect on the kid.
No.
It is what your kid does and his mindset going on the ice every day that's going to affect his future, not the information you're dying to know or you want to know or you're trying to put on other people. It has no bearing on anything.
I think, you know, obviously as a coach, you have ice time as you can hold that. They have
right.
to earn their ice time. But I think to get through to today's players, and even in the NHL, the yelling and screaming is long gone. It's communicating, it's talking, it's trying to teach, obviously trying to develop. But then they still have to go out and do it and prove it. And go ahead.
James Patrick joining us around the table, longtime NHLer, longtime assistant coach in the NHL, now the head coach out in Kootenay, also Nolan Patrick's uncle. We're live in Chicago ahead of the NHL draft tomorrow night. It's so true. I mean, the game has changed in so many different ways.
Right.
You played for a Canadian city. There isn't really a Canadian city that's in the mix for Nolan tomorrow night. He's likely going to either Jersey, Philly, maybe Dallas. But as a guy who predominantly played in the States, how would you compare the difference? Because we focus on it all the time up here.
Right.
Playing in Canada versus playing in the U.S. We had Drew Doughty on our station last week, and he said, listen, I love being in L.A. because they don't know me. I'm just a normal guy where I'd be – cognizant of that in Toronto because he's such a celebrity, and maybe some players don't want to play in Toronto because of that celebrity. As a player yourself, how would you compare and contrast Canadian market to American market?
For me, I mean, the one fortunate was I finished my career in Buffalo, which is, I think, as close to Canada as you can get, and they are as passionate as, you know, I mean, Toronto fans are off the charts, you know, and we would play Toronto, and they'd half the building was filled with Toronto fans, but certainly crazy, passionate fans who love their team, and I love playing there. I love the energy and excitement. No question, when you play in Calgary, you're way more recognized, and I noticed that, and I think it's tenfold now, 20 years later, with all, you know, all the Canadian cities. Obviously, Montreal and Toronto are, I think they're unique. Montreal, to me, it's the New York Yankees of the NHL with their history and tradition. I would have loved to have been able to play for the Montreal Canadiens. I was a fan of them growing up. But I do think, you know, certain athletes, you know, Dougie Gilmore and Sundin and maybe Ty Domi, and a lot of guys, they thrived in Toronto. They thrived off the attention. I think when Dougie went there, it changed the franchise. I don't know. I mean, I hate to stereotype. There are just some guys who want to be anonymous and hate being recognized, and they can play down in California and enjoy that. But I would love to see, you know, a great Canadian franchise again. I think they're going in that direction.
Right?
I think they are. I think Toronto. I think Winnipeg. I think Calgary. They got young players that are. It'll be interesting to see where they are over the next 3 years.
Absolutely. And Edmonton, McDavid.
And Edmonton, right? How can I forget that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it was a while since we had a number of Canadian teams that you can feel very positive about. Here's James Patrick. You'll be in the building tomorrow night?
I'll be in the stands watching.
Yeah, you're looking forward to it. Obviously, it'll be great. Nolan Patrick, your nephew, getting drafted tomorrow night.
I'm excited and proud for him, so it'll be fun. And I've told them all along. I said it means nothing where you get drafted.
As soon as the day's over, you're all in the same.
Exactly. It doesn't make you a better player.
Right.
At the end of this draft, there's going to be someone drafted in the fifth round who's going to be one of the best players in the world, you know, 10 years from now. And there's going to be a number of guys in the first round who never play in the NHL. And it happens every draft. Yeah. So I said all it's doing is it's identifying what team you're going to go to. And it's how hard you're going to work, how bad you want it, and how much you develop over the next 2 years, that's going to determine what type of player you're going
to
be.
We're looking forward to it tomorrow night. Thank you so much for popping by. We appreciate it, and we'll catch you at the rink tomorrow night.
Okay, my pleasure.
Thanks, James.
Longtime NHL player James Patrick, head coach out in Kootenay, and the uncle for Nolan Patrick, expected to go in the top three tomorrow night. We'll get to some future bets.
Yes.
Buy or sell. We'll continue to recap what's been a busy day here in Chicago and keep teeing up the draft tomorrow night. We're live in Chicago, Illinois. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. We are live in Chicago, Illinois, ahead of the NHL draft tomorrow night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. It was a big night for the Maple Leafs last night, big night for Auston Matthews, winning the Calder. Obviously, you can only win it once.
Who was prouder? I mean, I know his family was, but did you see Babs's face in the background? Like, it was almost like he sat there right behind
Matthew's dad. Is it more proud or prouder?
Oh, yeah, I guess I could be speaking wrong.
Look
here.
At you, Look Brad at Faxon.
Brad Faxon again.
Just
is it more proud?
People.
Prouder's
who
not
was
a word?
More proud or who was prouder?
I think you could go either way.
I think
on
you can
that.
Go either way. I may have misspoke.
I think it's a judgment call.
I think
I'll let it slide.
I think the word prouder is a word, is it not?
I don't believe it is.
Really? The language police are
going to
come swinging at me?
But who are your
books.
Two people, Babs or Auston Matthews' dad?
Yeah.
Oh, it was
Babs
definitely Babcock.
Oh, my God.
Babcock, honestly, he looked like a doll.
He was wound up. And when Matthews made his speech and he said, shout out to Leafs Nation, they flash back to Babs' face and he goes, attaboy. I actually read his lips.
Oh,
it's like, attaboy.
Good job.
Like, good job. Like, knowing, like, you said all the right things.
But I think that was definitely probably
King Daddy Topper.
Probably relayed to Matthews. Don't forget, because you know what happened. McDavid went up there and when he won the Lindsay, and he was nervous, and he's not a big public speaker. I don't remember how he approached Edmonton, but when he won the Hart, he dropped the Edmonton best fans in the world.
Yeah.
Like Matthews kind of started that almost, although every player does it. But I thought, you know, Matthews handled that really well. But I think Babcock was was ecstatic because he's looking at this guy saying, I'm tied to him.
That's
in Toronto.
The golden goose, right?
That's
there.
The guy who's going to carry us where we're supposed to
but
go. And
I Torts got the music. He got the hook.
As he should. You can't keep going on. No one cares about the Jack Adams.
He kept going on.
You know what? The veteran move of the night. Connor McDavid had his girlfriend there last night.
Yeah.
But he did not mention her.
He did not at all.
In the speech, because you can't look back 20 years later. You've married someone else, and you were on your first big award show thanking your 19-year-old girlfriend
that
from 20
years
ago.
They've been dating for 2 months or something.
Exactly. Bring her on the arm in Vegas. That's a veteran move. But avoiding the shout-out during the acceptance is huge.
She hasn't earned it.
She would have been the first person I acknowledged.
Aloha. I wouldn't be here without you.
Aloha.
Yes. Thank you. Aloha.
I wouldn't be here without you. Aloha.
The lap dances were a very integral part of my development.
It was so great meeting you last night in Vegas.
Exactly. Aloha.
Aloha.
We've known each other for 24 hours. You've changed my life.
You've spent the afternoon in jail, but I still love you.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that was a veteran move.
That's a great move.
Because who knows?
You can't do it, man.
He may land in Edmonton and dust her.
Exactly.
You never know.
I mean, she may be a great girl. Maybe they're married for the rest of their lives. But until there's a ring on that finger, you can't give a shout-out. It's impossible.
And I'll guarantee you, that was in the back of her mind. Like, this guy did not give me a shout-out.
Oh, like, I want to marry this son of a bitch right now.
I don't know, man. Facebook status, potentially. Like, just...
My boy won the heart everything.
But she didn't get the shout-out.
That's
you
the
know
thing.
She's rattled about that.
Her Facebook status, I don't know the status, is like uncertain or whatever.
Right.
What would that be? Like?
It's complicated.
It's complicated.
It's definitely complicated. The emoji game would have been on fire last night. All right. Anyway, we got a new game here. Maybe
okay.
We played this before.
We
I don't
have
know.
Played. It's a
future bets.
Okay.
Basically treat these as stock. Would you buy them or would you sell them?
Okay.
All right? And a lot of it's based on what we saw last night. Feel free to join in. We all know
sure.
the way this game is played. All right? We're live in Chicago, Illinois, ahead of the NHL draft tomorrow night. Austin Matthews will be nominated for the Hart next year.
Ooh.
Buy or sell?
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it because I think he's just fast-tracking. How many guys at 19 years old can step into the league and score 40 goals? Obviously, he has to continue his development, but I already think he's one of the top five or six players in the game, so why not?
There's no
reason for me to sell, so I'm going to buy.
I can buy it, too, because I can believe that I don't think he's going to have... Like, I'm on record saying I don't think he'll score 40 next year, but I think he'll get more points. So if you end up having a trajectory... with more points and a better year than your first year, then I think you're... Plus, he's a Calder winner. His name is front and center now.
Oh, yeah.
I thought when Bergeron won last night, I was like, this guy is tied to the Selke every year. You know what I mean? Like Ryan Kessler...
It's like it's his trophy.
It's his trophy to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there's going to be five or six guys, no matter what they do, and I'm not suggesting that Matthews would have a dip, that are always going to be in this conversation now of like the top player. So why wouldn't he be in there?
The only reason I'm going to sell is because I think McDavid will be a lock to be one-third of him.
Right.
I think Crosby will continue to be in the mix. So I think you're looking at one spot.
Right.
And
so
it's
you
Matthews.
You look at all the other great
Matthews
players.
Versus
Carlson
the field.
Or Burns.
Carlson, what if Patrick Kane keeps putting up points?
Like
Price, yeah.
Like there's Malkin. A lot of different guys. I think
Ovi.
He'll be in the mix. Like
right.
I think he'll be top 10. If that was the question, I think we'd all buy immediately. Maybe even top 5.
But you only have one spot.
But I think there may only be one spot. I think if Sid keeps rolling the way he does, he'd have to be up. I expect McDavid to be nominated 8-9 times over the next 10 years.
You're
you
right.
guys don't agree with me, but I think if Austin Matthews was a 3 or 4 year veteran in the league, I think he would have got a lot more Hart consideration this year.
I think you're
it's
right.
It's almost like everybody said, you're going to get your little Calder trophy this year, just be happy with it, but we're not going to put you in that category with the big boys yet. But I guarantee if he had been around longer, they would have talked about it a lot more.
You could have, but who would have come out of those top three?
I think maybe Bobrovsky would be the guy, but here's the thing.
Right.
McDavid puts up so many points. Like Matthews has to jump in points because,
right.
you know, Crosby's probably going to get his 80-plus. Kane will get his 80-plus. What if Jamie Benn has a bounce-back year and puts up big numbers?
Right.
But to your point, McDavid based on his play, deserved to be up for the Hart based on his points. But he also got connected to the fact that the Oilers took off.
Right.
Matthews didn't get that same connection. But he was as closely aligned as McDavid was in many different ways to getting the Toronto Maple Leafs into the position that they hadn't been in years.
Out of the dumpster.
Out of the dumpster.
Right. Right.
All right, moving on. Buying or selling future bets. At some point in his career, Patrick Laine will be nominated for a Hart Trophy.
I could see it. If this guy ends up scoring over 40 goals... The Hart
40.
Trophy,
this guy looks like he could score 60.
Well, he does look like it. And if Winnipeg, I believe that Winnipeg's a team that's on the rise. Like, they're coming.
I'm going to buy that, too, because he's just too talented. And if he ever goes nuts one year and the Winnipeg Jets get themselves out of the dumpster, then why not him? You can't just ignore it and say, no, he's not Matthews. He's not that. He's ultra talented. He can score goals. He's one of the best already in the league. And much like a winger, the scoring winger has never really thought of that MVP-type player.
But Ovi's got
Ovi's done it multiple
Patrick
times.
Patrick Kane's got it before. Jamie Benn's been nominated.
This guy's that good. I'm buying that.
And you know what? Honestly, it wouldn't shock me if he was in contention next year if Winnipeg made the playoffs.
And one of the other reasons I'm buying it is because the guys from Winnipeg are right beside us.
And because of his mustache.
That mustache was... This guy, I think...
It's the golden mustache.
I think he's well aware of what's going on. He's got that attitude about him that he just doesn't give a you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knows he's the man, and he's like, I'm going to grow a mustache, and I don't care what it looks like.
Right.
I'm going to grow a white mustache.
He had a girl on his arm last night. She didn't seem to care about the mustache.
Dude, when you rip home that many goals and you're going to make that much money, you're going to have...
Yeah, he's a 2 and she was a 10.
On your arm.
She was a 10, and he was...
Have you ever seen more overachievers than professional hockey players?
It's not even close.
If these guys had garbage jobs and made $4 an hour, they would not even have a girlfriend.
No.
Yeah.
Phil would be tracking...
Not even close. They're the ugliest people on earth, and they're with the hottest chicks I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
So we're all buying that line at some point, being nominated for the Hart? Okay. Connor McDavid will win at least 4 more Harts in his career.
Absolutely buying it. There's no reason why not.
The thing is, Sid's only got 2, I believe.
I was just going to say, like,
I think Matthew Dumba tweeted out best last night. He's like, take a look at this pick. It was McDavid with all of his hardware. And he said, get used to this for the next 10 years.
We said the same thing about Sid, though, when he first started winning.
Yeah, well, we're not going to project concussions and elements like
but
that.
We didn't project Ovechkin winning 3, I believe.
Right.
I'm with you, but I'm buying, just for the record. I'm buying. I think it went 4
buying.
More.
Why I'm not buying is because the league is so good. And it's just typical.
It's not Connor McDavid good, though.
You're right, but it's typical of this league. You're always looking for the next greatest thing. We talk about it all the time. Who's the best coach?
Coming up. There's no Connor McDavid coming in the wings. There's no Sidney Crosby. This is going to be it for the next 10 years.
But you know what? In my mind, Joel Quenneville's the best coach in the NHL. He was 4th in voting. Why? Because you're always looking. But Torts had a great year. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always someone. Jamie Benn's going to have a great year. You just said it. Like, you're playing against the field.
Right.
And that's the thing that worries me, is because we're always looking around what's right in front of our face.
I just think you get yourself into a category, and this guy's a darling within the NHL. Everybody's in love with the way he plays, his talent. And in my playing career, Mike Pekka, no matter what, was going to be up for the Selke.
Yep.
Pronger, Lidstrom, and Niedermeyer were going to be up for the Norris, and it's just like they were automatic, slam dunks. They were going to be nominated every year.
I agree. And that's what I just said about Bergeron. Bergeron's up for the Selke every year.
Yeah, he can take a dump at center ice, like you say, and he's still going to be nominated for the Selke. Ice. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, buying or selling. John Tortorella will be nominated for another Jack Adams at some point in his career.
I'm going to sell that one. I think this is just kind of one of those years. I don't know if they can sustain that type of play. Bobrovsky's obviously the X factor. He seems to be up and down. He generally seems to follow one of these years up with a stinker, does he not, Jamie?
Well, he's had injury issues. That's his biggest thing.
He's got 2 Vezinas, though.
I loved his speech last night. Like, he was,
bit
broken. Broken
bit
English,
choppy.
But he just grinded through it.
Yep.
And I the hardest part about this is like John Tortorella has won 2 Jack Adams and lost 2. Like, he's been nominated 4 times.
Incredible.
If you said that, if we would have been talking about this in September when he was a train wreck for the World Cup, like we
oh, it was it, that was it, the most difficult award to believe back in September or early October. If you told me Matthews won the Calder, I'd say, of course. McDavid won the Hart, I'd say, yep. Burns for Norris, I'd be like, yep, could totally see that.
Yeah.
Even Bobrovsky, because I'd be like, oh, yeah, he's won it before, so he just had a miracle year. Totally, I could see that.
Yeah.
If you told me that John Tortorella was going to win the Jack Adams in September, I would have laughed you out of the room.
Yeah.
So credit to him, but I'm selling it, man. I think he's been down this road enough times.
I think it's too hard.
Anyway, there you have it. Futures.
Those are pretty good.
Selling. I don't know if you guys have any others you want to throw in there on the fly. You can think about that. We're live in Chicago ahead of the NHL draft.
A deep dish will be crushed before Sunday morning.
Buying multiples. 100%.
I think we should get one. We could probably get one at the draft, can't we? Like, somebody can fire up a deep dish there.
Dude, this it's a sloppy dish, man. Like, it can get real ugly real quick.
It's like a pie. Like, it's this thick. You got to...
I don't think I'm into it, guys. I'm not...
This is what happened in the cab on the way in. Right. You turn around and you go, dude, it's like a lasagna. Yeah. And my response was, what's wrong with that? Since when do you turn down lasagna?
Yeah, like, you've been after him to get lasagna.
I'm telling you, you're going to love this. But deep dish would be... Like, my wife and I talk about this all the time. Like, the worst first date food...
Is a deep dish?
Ribs, probably number one. Because if you're trying to impress a girl and you've got rib sauce all over your face like an idiot, you're toast. Corn is tough, man. Off the cob. You get the butter face
going to work on the cob.
You're a disaster. I think lobster, you can look like a complete knob. If you can't get in there, you can't, you know, crack the shells or whatever.
So you think steak is a good, like,
steak is fine.
And, like,
but deep dish would be high on my list of no non-geese for a first date.
Why? Just because of the shrapnel?
Yeah, shrapnel, and the cheese is gooey. And
but, like, spaghetti, you start flapping that around, and it's flying everywhere. Like,
it's a good poll question, man. What's the worst first date food that you can eat if you're just... If you know if you eat it, you're going to look like a complete loser, and she'll never call you back.
Well, what gets stuck in your teeth that's green? That's what it is, because you're smiling away and you got a chive stuck there, and you look like an idiot.
Yeah, you're toast.
And
I would say Mexican cuisine would be a tough roll of the dice.
What
on
is
a first date.
The like a fajita or whatever? If you have to build your own meal, like if you've got to actually wrap it up and all that kind of stuff,
what
you're
was
toast.
The movie with That's Ben Stiller with Jennifer Aniston? He was sweating. It was the Indian food or whatever.
Oh, I can't remember.
Was it Along Came Polly?
It might have been. There was a Curb Your Enthusiasm. Episode like that too, where Larry starts eating all that spicy food because he was told that it does something for something else.
And he's got it. But thing is, you start diving into the really spicy food and you got to hit the toilet.
You're asking for big time trouble.
That's not a date food.
NBA draft going on tonight. Raptors picking 23rd overall. We talked about this earlier, man. I was watching ESPN throughout the day. All they do is goof on Phil Jackson.
Really?
That's all they do is goof on Phil Jackson and the Knicks and talk about how big of a joke they are and these Porzingis rumors. And
well, Jay Williams, I was watching him today, and he said he talked to one of the top draft prospects, and he said Phil Jackson was sleeping during his workout.
I heard that. The guy fell asleep.
Yeah, he looked over, and Phil Jackson, the guy he's trying to impress, is sawing logs in the crowd.
Like, how do you not walk over there and say, please don't draft me?
Yeah.
If you're going to show me that level of disrespect, don't, like, take me off your draft board.
I think that's awesome.
This guy has become an absolute punching bag, Phil Jackson. Yeah. He's a punching bag, and it's amazing to see a legend of this status. We talked about this earlier
yesterday.
In the week. Turn into a dartboard where there isn't anybody that will hold back.
Nah.
Nobody is showing this guy respect.
Yeah.
And, you know, we link everything to Toronto, and I linked it to the Maple Leafs earlier, how the Knicks and the Leafs, their histories have been aligned. They have been parallel for a long, long time. Great history, big market, huge fan base, worth a fortune.
Right.
Never could get out of their own way. The Knicks continue to be a tire fire. The Leafs are not. I mean, the Leafs have become a respectable team. We mentioned it earlier. The schedule came out today, and the first thing I did was I went to look at it. I'm like, okay, who are they playing at the end of the year?
Yeah.
And for starters, they got a bunch of games spread out over the final 3 weeks. So it's not going to be like they did this year where they had, what, 5-7 or something like that?
6-9.
6-9, which was crazy.
Yeah.
And against tough teams, Pittsburgh a couple of times, Washington, Tampa, they were loaded. Now you look at it, they got games against Buffalo, the Islanders, Jersey. They finished their season at home against Montreal. That could be potentially a great game and a big game on a Saturday night. But I'm looking at it thinking, okay, they can beat Buffalo. They can beat Jersey. They'll beat Vegas. For years, opposing fan bases were doing that to the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. We got the Leafs, so that's a guaranteed win. The Leafs have completely reversed their reputation in a year and a half. They're all of a sudden a respectable team, a fun team, and a team that you have to take seriously. Yeah. And I'm curious to see how they add to that over the next 48 hours. Yeah. I hope they do something. I can't sit here and guarantee that they will. There's rumors they're in on everybody, but doesn't mean anything until Lou actually pulls the trigger.
And you know Lou is not going to let anybody know.
He's not saying anything. We've been requesting him to come on the show. He's not coming over here. He's not gonna say anything, even if he did, and we understand that. We've got all the time in the world for Lou, but he's not gonna break a deal or confirm a rumor on any shows.
We're not gonna have the relationship with Lou like the guys in Winnipeg have with Chevy. Chevy just rolls in and hey, hugs and kisses to everyone, stays for an hour. Lou would call us from the parking lot.
Honestly, he would be outside the door and he would call in. I'm not coming in studio.
Yeah.
Only phoners from 15 feet away.
And then you ask him something, he's like, nope, I cannot confirm.
Or deny.
Yeah.
Although then he'd be stealing the line.
I will say this. Doesn't matter, our relationship with Lou.
Nope.
They've done the right thing. They've done a great job. And Lou Lamoriello's done a great job. I thought I saw voting. Did he come in fourth for general manager of the year?
I didn't see that.
I thought I saw that.
I think, you know, it's a weird dynamic, though, because you wonder where Shanahan comes into play. Babcock's got more power than a lot of coaches in his say and how he manipulates the way the process works out.
We talked about this off the top. It's about time that these people need to start signing off and putting their name behind their votes because there's just, you know, it's odd and it's random and it's not all of them. But some of the people, they need to be exposed, and then it can go in front of somebody else, and they can say, you get your ass out of here. You're not voting on this anymore because you're clueless.
Lou was fourth. David Poile, Peter Chiarelli, Pierre Dorion, Lou Lamoriello. That was the voting process.
Did you see the face on David Poile when James Neal was announced?
Yeah.
Vegas Knights taking James Neal. He looked like he wanted to go up there and swing at George McPhee. Like he was so.
And then
rattled.
Poile was so gracious. Like he's such a nice man. Like
He looked like Harry Dunn when that thing wouldn't flush.
He was shook.
Flush, you bastard!
And Mary Swanson was George McPhee.
Yes.
Or James Neal.
Just shaving. McPhee was up there.
Yeah. David Poile was just shaving in Vegas last night. We'll get to the three stars, maybe slide in some best bets as well. The NBA draft tonight, Raptors picking 23rd. We'll see if any movement happens there. And again, tomorrow night, the Leafs will be on the clock at 17. So tomorrow we'll get you more of an update on maybe the players that could be in the running for the Leafs in the 17th spot. Let's be honest, they're still taking the best player available.
Yeah.
Would it be ideal if it's a defenseman who happens to be the best player available? Sure. Or a goalie? Sure. Right. But if it's a winger, so be it. Take whoever you feel is the best player. And I think Mark Hunter and the Maple Leafs will do that tomorrow night. We're going to be live on the draft floor between 4 and 7 p.m. tomorrow here in Chicago ahead of the NHL draft. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. We're live in Chicago ahead of the NHL draft tomorrow night. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Tribe tonight, again in Baltimore. I'll take the Yankees home plus. They got to start rolling, man. They have been struggling recently. Good for the Jays. They want to stay in contention themselves. And I'm on the Cubbies because we're in Chicago. Cubbies need to get going, too. They're only a game over 500, but they're tracking Milwaukee. They'll end up running away with the NL Central.
I think Carl Schwarber's been sent down.
He is, man. He was a World Series hero. Coming off the injury, he came back, was great in the World Series. He's batting under 200. They said, Nongi, you're going down to the minors. Sent him to, Iowa or something. That's the thing. When you go to the minors, you don't go to Manhattan or Miami. They send you to Iowa.
Yeah,
like
if
in Toronto, where are you going? You're going to Buffalo.
Yeah.
And you talk about an upgrade, man. We were in Buffalo last year. It's always fun to go to the draft.
It is.
I'll go anywhere in the world to the draft. But Buffalo versus Chicago?
Yeah. Here's another thing. It was brought up to me. Remember the guy who was just destroying drinks last year who worked for the league?
I want
to
find that son of a gun.
We got to find this guy.
That guy is our pokeroo. I think he's going to dodge us somehow, but I'll bet you he's in Chicago. I can just sense his presence.
Dude, you remember last year? We thought that was somebody's crazy uncle. We get down to the draft floor, and he was directing traffic out there for the NHL.
I'm telling you, we got to track this guy.
Like, and then the next night, he was right back in his Hawaiian shirt, destroying rum and cokes. This guy, we have to find out.
I have to, man. And making love to a Ryan Coke. I've never seen someone stare at a bottle the way that he stared at a bottle. And you're right, man. We were on the draft floor, and we laid eyes on that guy. He had the NHL emblem on his chest. He's telling Austin Matthews, like, no, you can't come down here, kid. Yeah, you got to go down that
true
way.
True pro. He was a true pro.
Absolutely he was. And how he wasn't so hungover that he passed out on the draft floor is still beyond me. But if he's in Chicago, he is going. He's the kind of guy, he'll be at Ditka's tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Or Harry Carey's.
Taking it deep. And he, you know what? He could be Corey Crawford yelling Chicago tonight and still be on the draft floor.
That's going to be me.
You're going to go Corey Crawford?
Chicago!
Biggest bunch of beauties in the league. Well, there's another thing we were talking about earlier. Owen and I went for our little walk.
That was the dumbest thing.
You touched my arm a couple of times, and I'm like, no, guy.
I noticed that. I don't know why. We were getting way too close.
Yeah, what's wrong with you guys?
It was like we were 40-year-old losers just cruising around.
Yeah, we went for a walk. We didn't talk that much. But
we didn't say a word. We walked to lunch and back, and there was maybe – this is what he said to me. I got to go to Walgreens to get some aloe lotion for my sunburn. I said, okay. After that, it was just feathers the whole time.
The only thing we actually mentioned, at one point we walked by Michael Jordan's steakhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, that doesn't happen in Toronto. Like, Wendell's got his place.
Yeah.
Wendell's got a couple of different spots, and we're fans of it.
Gretzky's.
But Gretzky never played for Toronto.
Yeah,
never played
for
the
Leafs.
Like, here, you've got Ditka's, you've got Harry Carey's, you've got Michael Jordan's steakhouse or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't there a Joe Carter steakhouse or a Matt Sundin?
Well, how about
like high end?
Why don't
we
push for a 34s?
Well, that's exactly what he said. Like, how far into Matthew's career can he go before he sets up shop with like a
five star restaurant?
5 years
deep. Yeah, five, six years. 34 steakhouse
on like King though, like somewhere high end. We're not talking sending it up to
dude. I'm
like,
telling you, it'd be a gold mine.
You think it would be?
Absolutely.
Would you want that kind of hassle, though? Because then you're dealing with lawsuits, potentially, bad reviews. You know what I mean? If you employ someone who turns into a grease ball and starts stealing money from you or something like that.
Chelios here in Chicago.
He's got a place, doesn't he?
He does, Chelios, but he also had an incident where somebody was murdered at his place.
Well,
a cook was shot or something.
Oh,
or
I remember that.
Like,
I do.
The problem with restaurants and being involved in them, you have to be hands-on or trust somebody who's hands-on because it's constant. People are stealing from you left and right.
Well, it's your name. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're Austin Matthews, does Lou want this guy to have a restaurant that he's got to pop by for everyone? I don't know. But it feels like something, again, once you've grown your legend.
Right.
And let's say Matthews plays here for 20 years. They win two or three cups. He wins two or three hearts.
Yep.
Then I could be like, I could see this guy setting up shop with his own restaurant or whatever. It just, it feels like a Chicago thing. I don't know what it is.
It is, but
and they're all high-end spots. Like, you go to Harry Carey's and Ditka's, you're talking $50, $60 prime ribs.
Yeah, I know.
Like, this is not like McDonald's we're talking about.
You're not
about.
Going to Sizzler.
No, it's not a Scooters.
Is there even a, you even know what a Sizzler is?
Of course.
I wasn't sure. I grew up with a place like there was Ponderosa, Bonanza, Sizzler.
Sizzler was hot, man.
They used to have the ice cream bar. You go in, you get your heartburn on a plate, and then you roll over to the ice cream bar.
Well, you know what is right around the corner from our hotel?
What?
A P.F. Chang's.
Mm.
What?
I may eat there tomorrow for lunch. We're going there. P.F. Chang's.
All right.
I will lettuce wrap myself into a coma.
I don't know if it's a good idea before we go to the draft to eat at Chang's.
Sweet
man.
And sour chicken. No, some lettuce. It's on me.
Mongolian beef. Mongolian beef I'm having in
I'm
going to
cut
chicken.
My hair like the Raiders owner, and we're going.
You're Mark Davis.
Mark Davis.
Davis.
Yeah, you need a 2003 Nokia phone, flip phone. And like a 98 minivan, and we'll go to P.F. Chang's.
P.F. Chang's on me tomorrow.
I spotted that thing. I have this propensity for that, man. I go to the States, and I'm picking off spots like P.F. Chang's, and there's a Cheesecake Factory within a couple miles. I'll find it.
No, there is. There's one right by Hancock Building. It's right underneath there.
All right. I'm like a homing pigeon, though. No, I just know where these places are.
We're going
to
a high-end place tonight to have some food.
All right.
That's what we're doing.
Food and water, because we're getting after it tomorrow.
Exactly.
Live from the draft floor at the United Center.
We have a big shift tomorrow. I don't want you guys getting stupid tonight.
No.
All right.
But that's why we need P.F. Chang's, I think, tomorrow for lunch.
Yeah.
Hit Chang's, get regrouped, little team lunch.
Agreed.
P.F. Chang's, man, you are an excited individual, and I'm right there with you.
Mongoli
beef.
Did you see
beef.
My eyeballs light up like dinner plates?
Yeah, Mongoli beef.
For a P.F. Chang's.
Sweet and sour chicken makes my heart beat.
It's a great spot, man.
We're ready to rock.
We don't even need to say the 3 stars. There's only one star.
It's Chicago.
P.F. Chang's.
It's P.F. Chang's.
It's Chicago deep dish, too. I mean, let's be honest.
It's Chang's.
Chang's.
Chang's. Chang's.
Chang's. Chang, Chang, Chang.
We are out of here. We're live from Chicago tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.